of Naturopathic Examiners and the Oregon Occupational Therapy Licensing Board. But before we begin on those, we have a couple of housekeeping things to take care of. And then Mr. Olson from the Legislative Fiscal Office will give us a kind of an overview on the beginning of the process here. So, first of all, we have the paramount issue of coffee in the morning. And Ings, as Representative Bates, is now indentured to bring donuts on a continuing basis. We have the option of having water with our donuts or coffee with our donuts. Could you outline the coffee issue for us a little bit?
Sure. Madam Chair and members of the subcommittee, the coffee is $7 a carafe, and there's about 7 cups in that carafe. And so the choice is whether, and that is paid for by the Legislative Administrative Committee. It comes out of the legislature's budget, and the decision is whether or not you want to have it here for the morning meetings. If you do, we can make those arrangements to make sure that it's here.
So I will poll the committee and see if anybody besides me wants to have coffee here in the morning. Representative March, as our honored guest, do you drink coffee in the morning?
Well, I'm as a non-voting member, I would nod vigorously.
Thank you. Representative Smith?
I'll run upstairs and get some out of the lounge.
I drink foo-foo coffee, okay? This is a cafe vanilla, you know. It's not real coffee. I can't handle it, so I'll go for foo-foo coffee.
Okay.
Madam Chair, I learned a long time ago that you do whatever the chair wants in these committees.
Would you please instruct LFO then to give us a carafe of coffee in the morning? Now we have. Thank you, Yuri. Could you take us through a little bit of an explanatory process here on why we're seeing the same bill numbers on both these?
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the subcommittee. I thought it'd be helpful this morning to take just a minute and explain a little bit about the health-related licensing boards. You'll notice on the agenda that the both boards before you today have the same bill number. Several biennia ago, a lot of these health-related licensing boards were combined into one agency number, and they were under the umbrella of the Health Division, which provided some accounting and administrative support services to them. Over the last couple biennia, there have slowly been some of those health-related licensing boards that have pulled out from underneath that umbrella and have gone to DAS for their accounting and administrative services. There still exists 8 or 9 of these health-related boards that are still under that umbrella, although my understanding is there's some legislation that will be coming this session that may pull one or two or maybe all of those agencies out and establish them as a standalone agency, and they will then have their own agency number and will go to DAS for their accounting and administrative services. So that's why you'll see that same bill number, because those that are still under the what we call 833 agencies are all lumped in one bill. So we will work through public hearings on all of those, and then once those are all heard and rules are adopted and we're able to go to work session, we will go to work session and work all of those at the same time in one work session. As a follow-up to that, back in the mid-90s, there was legislation that was passed with regards to fee adjustments and fee increases. It was under Senate Bill 333, and you may hear us or others refer to the Senate Bill 333 process. That, in essence, says that if an agency raises fees through administrative rule during the interim with the approval of the Department of Administrative Services, they must come back to the next legislature and have that fee increase ratified or new fee ratified. You will see some of these, although not the two that you will hear today, you will see some of these health-related boards that will come back with a fee bill as well. And you'll have that bill number listed on the agenda, and we will be conducting public hearing on both the budget and the fee bill at the same time. For the most part, that fee increase that was done during the interim was approved by the Ways and Means Committee during the last session as part of their budget process. And so they told the Ways and Means Committee that they were intended to raise the fees, and their budget was approved based on that. and then they raise them administratively during the interim, and then they're required by that Senate Bill 333 to come back at the next legislature for ratification. So you'll see some of those, and we'll talk about them and explain those a little bit when we get to them. But I just thought we'd give you a little bit of background, a little bit of history there.
Thank you very much. I now presume that it's appropriate to open a public hearing on the Oregon Board of Naturopathic Examiners, so we will do that, and invite to the table, we have Adam Torgerson, who is new in the saddle at DAS, that will be helping us with the budget, and I'll allow the other two of you to introduce yourselves, but I just want to welcome Adam to the system and wish him the best of luck as he muddles through this extremely difficult budget process that we're going to undergo this time.
Madam Chair, thank you.
Did he check his wallet because he thinks we're going to take the money right now?
We'll accept donation.
We'll need donation.
Good morning, Madam Chair and members of the committee. For the record, I'm Ann Walsh. I'm the executive officer for the Board of Naturopathic Examiners. And Dr. Gregory Garcia is a naturopathic physician and board chair who is with me today to answer any questions you may have.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for coming today.
Lovely drive.
Now, how are you, do we want to have them step through, or who goes first, DAS or you, or?
Madam Chair, we have distributed to all agencies.
Our first undertaking in this committee, so pardon us while we muck through the process here.
That's fine.
We have distributed to all agencies a presentation outline. And that outline calls for the LFO staff to give a brief introductory statement or two about the agency. And then we'll let the agency make their presentation, and then DAS will make their comments regarding the governor's budget and answer questions.
The chair understands the game plan. Please proceed.
Thank you. Madam Chair, members of the subcommittee, I distributed to your offices yesterday a four-page memo outlining some very basic background to the board. I hope you receive that. If you don't have that, I've got some extra copies here for you as well. The Board of Naturopathic Medicine, our examiners, is funded completely from other funds, from fees charged to the licensees and for renewal of licenses and for examinations. There was one budget note contained in the budget from last session, and that directed the board to investigate the possibility of going to a biennial birthday or a biennial renewal, staggering the renewal licenses so that it can even out some cash flow issues. The board did report to the June 2002 emergency board and concluded that at this point there's not much benefit to going to a biennial renewal system. There were no audits completed for the agency, no interim reports or studies. There is a fee adjustment contained in the budget for the 0305 biennium. And this takes a little bit of an explanation and is not exactly what I had just talked about. But during the 1999 session, the fees were temporarily reduced because the agency was accumulating a high ending balance. So to bring that balance down, the legislature had the board reduce fees. They remained at the reduced level during this current biennium, the 0103 biennium, and now the board is proposing to increase those fees back to the pre-1999 level during 0305. The budget is based upon approval of that fee increase, that we're returning those fees to the previous level. If the budget is approved at that level, the agency will raise those fees through administrative rule during the 0305 biennium. And then, under that Senate Bill 333 process that I was talking about, we'll have to come back to the next legislature for ratification of those fees. That's it.
questions or comments from the committee members on the LFO presentation?
Yes.
Representative Smith.
Well, I'm looking at my little chart here from the LFO office, and these fee increases are substantial, in some cases 50%. And here we have an inactive license fee, and I assume inactive means the person is no longer practicing but wishes to hold a license. That fee is increased by $35. I understand that they kept their fees down at 97. However, we're in a different world right now. Our economy is extremely fragile. If we increase fees of these people who are business owners, businesses are having a hard time making it. Those fees are going to be passed on consumers, I assume.
Representative Smith, if I could interject, there is going to be a time when in the agency's part of the budget presentation where I'm sure they're going to be discussing the fee increase history and where they're at. Would you be willing to defer your question until that point in the discussion?
Yep.
Further questions or comments? Okay. Now, does DAS go next or the agents? The agents. Please, go ahead.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. The Board of Naturopathic Examiners was established in 1927. There are currently 5 board members, and they operate under the provisions of Revised Statute Chapter 685 and Oregon Administrative Rules Chapter 850. In 1989, the Board established a 7-member formulary council, which meets 4 times in a biennium, to review and determine the substances which are to be included on the formulary compendium. The formulary compendium is the list of drugs that the naturopath prescribes to his patient, his or her patient. The number of graduates coming from National College of Naturopath Medicine in Portland has leveled out and is expected to be 90 to 115 every year here forward. There were a couple biennium ago, there was, I think 2 years ago, there was 62 that graduated, and then last June there was 128. But their program has leveled out, and it's going to stay pretty consistent. So the number of people that are licensed for our board will increase from 150, which it is at this current biennium, to probably 175 to 200, 205 in the 2003-05 biennium. And then once licensed, every naturopath is required to obtain 25 hours of continuing education to make sure that their knowledge remains current in the practice of medicine. We currently have a website and a newsletter, and we are working on a brochure. With these, we hope to answer a lot of online questions that a person would have to wait for 8 to 5 to call into the office. We now have the opportunity to go to our website and find some answers on doctors they want to see or questions about what naturopathic medicine is. Some other links are there as well. The board feels the best means by which to alleviate the number of complaints is with better communication. So with the use of the website, the newsletter, and a consumer brochure, the board hopes to assure improved communication between the board and naturopathic physicians, and that relevant health information is available to the consumers who go to these naturopathic physicians at all times. We use the consumer protection and customer service are the 2 performance measures the board is tying in with the use of our website, newsletter, and brochure by allowing us to communicate better, therefore assuring that when complaints are brought to the board knows how to handle them and can go forward in a more timely manner in taking care of these problems. With the statutory change in Senate Bill 164, the board membership will increase to 7 members. It's currently 5. The increasing growth of the profession is requiring many more volunteer hours than the current membership can provide. In an ongoing effort to be a proactive board, the addition of 2 members may allow time to participate in school career events and public awareness activities, which the limited time just doesn't allow for at this point. In the last legislative session, the board was asked to track racial, ethnic, and bilingual information on licensees and applicants. The implementation of Senate Bill 786 began for 10 boards who are located in Portland in September of 2001. We got together with both the Minority Health Office and the Commission on Black Affairs to try and determine what the goal was in obtaining this information. And since then, the board has a questionnaire is posted on all our applications and renewals forms, and it's being collected in the database. Some of the agencies that I work with in Portland were able to attend a health fair in October of 2002, which I understand was very successful. We were unable to participate, but feel real comfortable that we will be able to participate in future events of that nature.
Madam Chair.
Senator Gordon.
Thank you. If we could just stop here for a moment,
yes,
to allow me to commend your efforts under Senate Bill 786. Very pleased to hear this part of your report. It was our finding in the 2001 session under Senate Bill 786 that a lack of licensed healthcare professionals from ethnic and racial minorities or who are bilingual contributes to the inadequacy of health outcomes in communities of color in this state. And so, again, your work toward correcting this deficiency is noted and is to be commended.
Committee members and Representative March, just to kind of reiterate, if you do have questions, please feel free to interrupt the process at any time to ask them. That's what we're here for.
Yes, if I could also add a little bit and amend a little bit what the staff person was saying about the return of fees.
Oh, for the record, could you identify?
Yes, I'm Dr. Greg Garcia. I'm the chair of the Oregon Board. I've served on it. I'm finishing my third year on the Board of Examiners. The fee for renewal used to be $700, and that fee was reduced by 50% based on the legislature down to $350. We're proposing that go back to $600, which is still not actually to $550, which is still not at what it used to be. I've been licensed since 1988 and had been paying $700, so I just want to make sure for the record you understand that the proposed fee we're having is still considerably less than what it had been for a long time. The other thing that I would like to add, I think Ann explained that we're getting an increasing number of licensees in the state, and part of the complexity to me of having just four board members that are naturopaths, I think now we're going over 600 licensees that are here. And so it's just increased, I think, the amount of time that the board meeting every 2 months has something to do in terms of complaints and just really educating our licensees here in the state about the laws.
Representative Smith, did you want to follow up?
Yeah, sure.
On your fee question.
You said 600. It says the board expects to renew 480 licenses in 201, 203. You just said 600. Okay, projecting a 12.5% increase. Oh, I see, to 540. We're still short of that. We can discuss this later if the time is more appropriate later, but I just, in a way, our economy was much stronger in 1997 than it is today. I feel that we're comparing apples and oranges.
Well, Madam Chair and Representative Smith, if I could address that. The reason we didn't reduce our fees, we reduced our fees voluntarily because we had a high cash balance,
right,
which allowed the board, we had like 20, when I came on board, I think it was like 24 months of cash reserve. So that needed to be spent down, and that's why the BAM analyst and I think legislative fiscal worked with the board, mm-hmm, in determining that to cut it in half for the 9901 biennium, and then relook at it and possibly raise it back up if the cash balance had been spent down. In the 0103 biennium, I have been watching it and have worked with Adam and with the board, and are able to maintain, we believe, with these fee increases not being back to the 100% that they were in 97, able to have a cash balance that will hold the board for several months without being in excess. as far as the inactive license fee that you had concern with, a lot of there are only 12 states that license naturopathic physicians currently. There are many who get their license in Oregon and hold it in inactive status because it gives them credibility in the states that they're practicing that don't currently have licensure. And when those states, such as New Mexico and Utah and somebody else are all working in California are working on getting licensure, those people will then use the fact that they've got an inactive license and they meet our standards. We'll use that towards getting some kind of grandfathering clause in for those who have the education without having to go through all of
but they're still not practicing in the state of Oregon.
No, with an inactive
that's
license,
my point.
You cannot practice.
That's my
Oregon.
Point.
Right.
Okay. Also, on the back page here now, if I'm not understanding this right, please correct me, okay, because I did not have this information in advance. Under additions in our packages, it says package 188 increased two board members and 182 hire a temporary employee. Yeah. Now, are your fees going to pay for those positions, for the board members, for their per diem and the temporary employee?
Madam Chair, Representative Smith, those two packages, the one for the additional two board members and the one for it's a temporary position to help the board get through heavy workload periods.
But how are they being paid? Through the increase in fees?
Through the budget, the expenditure budget, yes, which is, that's not the only reason that the fees are increased. The fees are increased because our cash flow is down to, maybe Adam can clarify that better, but we're down to where we're only like 3 to 4 months of cash reserve, which is really not a very good place to be.
Mr. Torgerson, for the record, please.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, for the record, Adam Torgerson from the Department of Administrative Services. I'll explain some of this in the DAS presentation. If it's appropriate, it might be good to go through that. And I talk about cash balance, ending balance, things that affect this particular fee increase.
Madam Chair, I have more questions, but I'd be willing to wait until his presentation.
Thank you. Representative Bates, you would like to ask
a question. I'll wait, Madam Chair, to the DAS presentation. I think there's some underlying factors here that the Naturopathic Board is a unique board because of licensing in Oregon being unique, scope of practice in Oregon being unique, and they're, to a certain degree, a clearinghouse for other states, and so they have costs that we may not normally be on a board working for the state. Now, we'll discuss that after the task presentation.
I agree with you. Representative Mark.
I just had one little short question. You mentioned the inactive licenses and someone maybe being in New Mexico or California and waiting to be grandfathered in, and that's why they maintain their inactive here. Can they currently practice in New Mexico or California since they've gotten a license here? But
Madam Chair, Representative March. The states that do not require licensure, most of them do not have any kind of regulation for practice of naturopathic medicine, and that's why the associations are trying to get licensure to maintain that public health concern that is.
So, Paul.
Yes.
So what you're saying is that someone with an inactive Oregon license isn't necessarily inactive. They could be practicing in California. They could be practicing
absolutely.
And making money in New
absolutely.
Mexico or some other state.
Absolutely.
They just are maintaining it here so that they're grandfathered in down there when they do have a license.
The naturopathic college in Portland is the oldest naturopathic medical school in the country, so it's in many ways a model, including our licensure and the scope of practice. It's commonly a model for other states to sort of emulate. If you look at what other schools in the country teach, they usually follow the curriculum here. So you're correct with that. Thanks.
Please proceed.
Thank you. There are two policy packages that the board is requesting. The policy package 181 would allow expenditures to pay for the additional two board members. I feel that those are really important positions to fill just because profession is growing and as Dr. Garcia will be able to attest, they just don't have the volunteer hours to put in. And I think that with the additional two members, one being an ND member and one being a public member, we'll have a better balance for getting a perspective and getting out there and protecting the public at a better level. The other package is a policy package 182, which would allow the board the use of a temporary clerical support person to be hired during the highest workload periods. There are times when exams come in or renewals, and every licensee has to do continuing education 25 hours every year, and because they are such a diverse group of people and their practices are so diverse, their education requires everyone in their program needs to have board approval, and that requires additional time that somebody has to look at that, usually myself and a board member. So to have clerical staff there that can help with the continuing filing or help proctor the exams, I'm not looking to get a permanent position. I just need somebody to help take the workload down.
Do you have any information for the committee on the size of your backlog or the percentage increase that you've experienced over the biennium? Do you have any kind of information about that?
As far as the increase in licensees, I don't have the specific numbers, but in 1990, 91, and 92, the average number of applicants that were licensed in Oregon was 18 to 20. In 2000, 2001, and 2002, we're looking at an average of 80 to 85 each one of those years. So just in that 10-year period, the increase in licensees has
doubled. Question.
So
one moment. I think there will be a place in this discussion where we talk about performance measures.
Uh-huh.
And I think one of the things that it would be interesting for us to track at this end of the process is whether or not, if we choose to go with the package that adds members to your board, how that does deal with the efficiency issues. And so to have some kind of data there over time that shows whether or not that's addressing the needs.
I certainly can work on putting something together for you. I don't have it at hand.
Representative Smith.
I would like to know. You say you have all these increase in licenses. How many are from out of state compared to Oregon practitioners who are currently...
Who come in as new licensees as opposed to come in...
Oh, I'd like to know how many out of state licensees are taking advantage of Oregon's licensing requirements to further their own practices in other states. To me, it sounds like we may be subsidizing out-of-state professional standards here.
I'm not really...
Especially in your inactive license. You said your inactive license category, you have a lot of out-of-state licenses.
Well...
Madam Chair.
Well, Senator Mezzi was in line before you, Representative Bates. I'm not sure that it would be easy to make that comparison, being as the process is funded by fees.
Well, okay. What I'm trying to get at, Madam Chair, is they're saying that they have an increase in licenses for the state of Oregon, up to almost 600 licensees. Okay? Are all of those people practicing in the state of Oregon?
No, Representative Smith.
Okay, how many are not?
That I would have to go pull those numbers for you.
Okay.
I don't have those at hand.
I'm wondering,
yes,
if the burden of this board is being caused by the amount of out-of-state licenses kind of piggybacking on Oregon's good reputation for accreditation. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh. I see where you're going. So could
And it sounds like, to me, we're getting a lot of pressure on our board to expand, increase fees, hire new people from what's going on in other states, but I don't know whether that's true or not.
Mm-hmm. Representative Smith, we do have the school that's local here in Oregon. We'll be graduating 108 people in June of this year. Of that 108 people, I expect at least 90 of them will get their license here in Oregon. Some of them may not actually practice here in Oregon, but they will hold an active license because they've come from Ohio, which doesn't have any kind of licensure requirement at this time. And they will hold their active license either in Oregon in case they come back, or to help in the legislative process of getting licensure in their own states. National College is one of the is the most well-reputed national or naturopathic medical college in the United States. And so people come from all over to go to school here. They do not have to get a license in Oregon when they graduate, but they do choose to get a license here in Oregon. Some of them stay here and practice, and some of them stay here and practice, get that experience, and then go back to their home state and encourage the licensure back there.
Well, just to follow up, I go back. It's wonderful. I think I'm very pleased that we have one of the best colleges in the United States. However, I'm wondering if we're subsidizing out-of-state practitioners.
Well, let me just to clarify in my own mind.
I doubt it.
Excuse me, I'm sorry, Madam.
That's okay. The you have a board, a volunteer board made up of naturopathic physicians in the state, correct?
Yes.
And they do a review process on people that are applying for licenses, and then there's some clerical aspect to issuing the license. Am I getting the picture here?
Yes, Madam Chair.
What you're saying is that the volume that you're reviewing is backlogging at the board level. It would be faster to get the applications through the board review process if there were more board members to share the work amongst.
Well, I think the Madam Chair, the board membership increase would be more effective in the clerical administrative aspects of the board as far as complaints and education. The licensing process is a very, I don't want to say rigid, but it's very standardized, and there are certain requirements that anybody making application to even take the state exams in Oregon must meet before they can qualify to take those exams. So that administrative process, when we get to that crunch time, it would be very helpful to have a clerical staff person in who could open the mail and secure, you know, transcripts with files so that when I go to look at those, which is what I do before I go to the board, is make sure those transcripts meet the standard that has to happen. They then take the exams, and at that point, then the board would look at the application if there's any concerns or issues.
Madam Chair, if I can also add, I think another perspective of why we want to increase the board. There's four MDs on the board and one public member. So any complaint related to standard of practice, any complaint related to prescribing, has to be addressed by one of the MD board members. So if we have a complaint involving multiple patients, or we're looking at to get a sense of how a physician is practicing, that may mean I've spent up to 6 hours investigating and looking at files with an investigator that we have hired. My concern is that in the realities of how much our education has cost and how much time someone has to donate, that as we get more licensees here in the state that are practicing, because we don't address complaints out of state, we don't have any jurisdiction there. But for really, I think, raising the bar, which I think is one of the goals of our board, as well as ensuring public safety, my concern is to have enough members there who are familiar with what we're looking at in terms of the statute and rule violations, and be able to really, I think, in a timely manner, since we're only meeting every 2 months, that having that workload spread around really makes us more efficient and I think protects the public. So I as the chair, supported having two more members there to look down the road and say this is a good thing for our board and for the public.
Thank you, Senator Messer. You've been very patient.
Thank you, Madam Chair. In regards to policy package 181, and maybe it's here and I just haven't found it yet, but I'm curious as to what is the compensation rate of salaries and wages. Question number one, and maybe a question for Adam later on, is I'm curious as to whether this is standard rate through all the licensing boards or whether it's independent of each board.
Madam Chair, Senator Messerly, the current, by statute, the current compensation to a board member is $30 for a meeting. That does not compensate them for any of the additional 10 to 20 hours they spend throughout the month preparing for the board meetings, preparing for hearings, whatever. They also are reimbursed by the board for mileage, and meals when appropriate. We currently have one board member who is in LeGrand, and the hope would be to find a board member and maybe in Southern Oregon or on the coast who can help balance out what the state's needs are as for. Has that answered your question?
Yes, thank you.
Representative Bates.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm going to make a couple of statements about your situation, and please correct me if I'm wrong, because I think I might bring a little different perspective to your dilemma. And having sat on this committee last year, having gone through all the boards last time, well, actually it was a different committee, but we're kind of splitting the work up this time. Naturopathic medicine is transforming itself right now. And I think you're aware of that, obviously. We have a wide scope of practice in the state for naturopathic physicians. It's not shared by other states sometimes. We have an outstanding school here in the state. And we offer something to the public that other states don't offer when we have naturopathic physicians with a broad scope of practice and an ability to help people. I think you're probably seeing a significant increase in the number of naturopathic physicians inside the state, both because of the location of the school and because of the scope of practice you have. And that's good for our state. People have a wider choice. Individuals have a wider choice. They don't always have to come to an allopathic or osteopathic physician. As that transition occurs, I expect you're going to have an upswing in number of people applying for licenses, staying in the state, and applying for licenses, and keeping those licenses in an inactive state, status of state, with the possibility of coming back to our state. And that's a good thing for our state, too. It is a common practice for MDs and DOs and naturopaths to be licensed in more than one state. Many of us have multiple state licenses. I don't happen to have one, but many do. And it's not an uncommon practice that happened. What's different, I think, for your group is you are seeing an exponential increase in people applying for licenses. You have to be careful with those. You have a duty and responsibility to protect the citizens of Oregon against unscrupulous practices. And that's a very serious one, and you need the resources to do that. And when you're in a transition like this, when you're seeing an upswing in a number of licenses coming in, I think you probably do need more resources to do that with. I think that's what's really driving this. You're looking at 180 initial license reviews in the next biennium, if your figures are correct. You've got 500 biennial renewals, which means to me there's about 500 naturopathic physicians in the state actively in practice. I would guess that's about correct. Against that,
it's closer to 550.
Okay, 550. But I don't know any other profession that's looking at initial licenses. There are almost 50% of the number of people practicing their state. It would be asking the Board of Medical Examiners in our state to say we've got 7,000 MDs out there and we're going to process 3,500 new licenses. Okay, we couldn't do it with the resources we have. So I think that's part of what's driving this. And if I'm incorrect, tell me I'm correct. But I see a huge number of licenses being looked at. Some are going to stay in the state, some are going to go out. I think Representative Smith has a good question that she asked you. What she basically wants to know is, you're going to process a very large number of licenses. In your estimation, what's the intent of those licensees? Are most of them going to stay in the state? Are half of them going to stay in the state? Are some of them going to leave the state? If they are, you may want to look at a different licensing fee for people who have no immediate intention of being in the state. You may want to look at a higher license fee for people who have inactive licenses who are actually outside the state but want to maintain those licenses. Those are some options you may want to look at. And I think that's probably where she may be going. She doesn't want to see us subsidizing out-of-state licensees and people coming to the state just to get credentialed to drive up the situation in the states they're actually planning to practice in. I think that's what the whole conversation was about.
If I can add just a little footnote.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Yeah, Alan explained that very well, because I am very much concerned about that. And since he opened the door for me, I was going to suggest a different license fee for out-of-state residences, but maybe we can get to that later after all the presentations have been presented. But since we don't know what our out-of-state license fees are and we don't know what kind of pressure that's putting on us, it's hard to say set a fee structure for out-of-state licenses. So I don't have all the information that I need in order to study the situation. Do you understand?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Representative Smith, I'm willing to work with you and come up with some numbers and give you an idea of what
Great.
I don't have that information right here available.
Okay.
Probably a good way to look at this is to have you and the analyst and Representative Smith sit down for a few minutes and talk about the data needs that would help give clarity to the committee on the situation.
How do you know that?
And then, as the LFO mentioned, we won't be moving this budget today. We'll have opportunities to bring it back and review that data.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
And having derailed you several times, please proceed.
Well, the governor's balanced budget of $341,309 is other funds, and that is what the board is asking for today to support the agency for the next year. And that's really all I'm asking for is your consideration. Thank you.
Now, further questions about the agency's presentation? If there isn't, we will move to DAS's detailed explanation.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, what I'll be looking at is the presentation you have that looks like it's got a spiral on the left side. That's our presentation, and I'll go over that.
Wait a minute. Where is that? Is that in our notebook?
Looks like this.
Ah, in my file. Got it. Just a minute.
Is it inside your binder?
Oh, there it is. Okay.
I think we are ready.
Good morning, and I'm here just to give you a higher level overview of the governor's budget. I'll do my best to avoid acronyms and jargon when I do it, but if I say something like that, please stop me, and I'll be happy to spell it out the long way. And please don't hesitate to interrupt me if I gloss over something that you need more detail. If I don't have it, I'll be happy to get whatever detail would help you make your decisions. And so what I'll move to is the second slide here that is the 2305 consolidated budget comparison slide. Typically in this slide in the past, we've shown the current service level comparison for state agencies. And since this time there were so many reductions in the interim to the general funded agencies, the current service level didn't make much sense to portray anymore. So we shifted that to showing the actuals, the close of session, and after the fifth special session actions. Because the naturopaths are other funded, they didn't have all the interim actions that some of the general funded agencies did, but we use this same presentation to be consistent so that during the rest of the presentations you'll see the same thing. You'll see that there's an increase between the close of session and the fifth special session for the board, and that increases the compensation plan that was approved by the third special session. And the governor's budget is $341,309, and I'll go briefly into the parts that make that up. If you turn to this next slide, which shows the consolidated budget, it's a big pie graph that shows 100% other funds. This board is completely funded through license fees and service fees, so there's no general fund involved. And then the next page is the, it says 2305 governor's budget, and it just says the budget's a 6.5% increase from the LAB legislatively approved budget through the fifth special session. There's no major changes in the interim. And this budget continues the existing program with slight reductions and two policy packages that the board briefly spoke about, and we'll talk about them a little bit later in this presentation. So the next page should be your another pie graph that just shows the board is 100% of one program unit. They don't have multiple programs. They just basically regulate naturopathic licensees. I'll go through this quickly. If I'm going too quickly, slow me down. The next page shows the breakdown between services and supplies and personal services. The agency is mostly comprised of personal services, which personnel, salary, wages, other payroll expenses, PERS, Social Security. The next page will detail what happened during the interim and the parts that make up the governor's budget. The emergency board actions in the interim, the only thing that occurred with this board is they submitted a report on the licensure, as the legislative fiscal staff spoke about. They had no other emergency board requests, no special session adjustments outside of the compensation plan in the third special session. The essential packages are part of what we roll up for all government agencies. They comprise the inflationary increases and other phase-in and phased-out programs, as well as adjustments that our personnel system, our computerized personnel system, doesn't make. They make most adjustments, but there's still a few that we have to make manually. So the first essential package is the 010 package. That's the non-PICS. PICS is the personnel system. That's the non-PICS adjustments that we have to make manually. It's a $98 package that is mostly a decrease in the mass transit tax. The 020 package is the phase-in and phase-out package if there's a program that starts in the middle of the year and it's to continue for the full biennium. We would phase it in there. We are phasing out in this agency $2,000, and it's for a computer that is was a one-time award at the last legislative session. And so the next page goes on to essential package, essential package 030. This is the basically inflation and price list package where the board's budget is adjusted for inflation based on various factors. It's also adjusted for price list items, which are central services, central government charges that agencies pay. All the inflationary increases are set up where the average increase is about 3.5% for most services and supplies, 3.9% for professional services, which are services that the agency may contract for, and those tend to inflate at a higher rate than the average services and supplies. And then Attorney General inflates at a higher amount based on the actual Attorney General's costs. And you'll have a chance to adjust that when you hear the Attorney General's budget or when the legislature hears their budget, because as that's reduced, these charges will be adjusted later in the process too. There is an adjustment in there that was manual for rent. After the agency requested budget was put through, DAS remeasured and found that they had measured incorrectly on some of the fourth floor of the Portland State Office Building. So a lot of the smaller boards and commissions may have adjustments there. They're not because the board moved or took more space or less space. It's just because space was reallocated amongst the agencies. And there are agencies that have increased and decreased space that balance each other out. So this board had a $5,545 increase to that package. We move on to the policy packages for the agency, which begin with policy package 090. That is the analyst reductions, which are the reductions that we make if we look through the budget and decide that it's appropriate. We reduced $7,500 from program-related services and supplies because the agency won't be testing applicants. The national test will be proctored by a different organization, so there's no need to have that limitation in the budget. And we also reduced $1,500 to better reflect how they're spending their money in this biennium expenditure trends. So then we move on to the policy package that we talked about a little earlier, the addition of two board members. The package basically just has the additional salaries and wages for the per diem and some increases in in-state travel. The board will be seeking board members from potentially far away from Salem to get the diversity they want on the board and have all the state represented. That can be expensive in the travel reimbursement. And it also would allow the board to better distribute their workload and have an easier time getting quorum and things like that. The agency in that package has said that they won't need any more administrative resources and can handle the extra administration within existing resources. So the additions are just for the board members in that package. And the last package is 182, which is the increase of temporary employee services. The board licenses they get their licenses in December, and they do it, I believe, half the licensees each year. And so right around that time, the workload becomes pretty significant, and the agency could use just a temporary employee to having to avoid hiring an additional employee at this point to offset that workload. And with that, we'll move into the fee increase discussion. which I believe is on the next page. It should be under the subheading of fee and revenue changes. I'm not sure, and I can work with Rick a little bit more on this, whether or not the fee will have to be approved administratively or not, because the Senate Bill 333 process that Rick spoke about earlier, I'd have to go back and take a look at when the fee was originally decreased, if they had set a date for reinstating. Because if they did, then they wouldn't need to come back for administrative approval. But obviously, you can control the budget numbers, which would we control whether or not we do that fee anyway. So that's basically the fee is needed to keep the current service levels. The board had lowered the fees and used their higher ending balance to pay for operations this biennium, and the ending balance is now down, so the fees need to be back where they originally were to support operations. And there's no technical adjustments, so if you have any questions or anything, I'd be happy to.
It would be good for the committee to have the information about whether the fee was rolled back to a specific time or whether it was left open-ended. I think that would figure in our discussions here. Any questions or comments on the LFO presentation?
Madam Chair?
Senator Gordon.
Thank you. Appreciate all of the presentations, and I have a request related to the additional reports we'll be hearing from the other health licensing boards. I referenced earlier Senate Bill 786, which passed in the last legislative session, and again, appreciate your work implementing that legislation. I would request that staff provide a copy of that bill, 786, for members of the committee, so that as it's being referenced, we know what we're talking about. And again, the bill required that health professional regulatory boards shall establish programs to increase the representation of people of color and bilingual people on the boards and in the professions that they regulate. Such programs must include activities to promote the education, recruitment, and professional practice of members of these targeted populations in Oregon, reading language from the bill. And so this is a question, or this is content that will be coming up around each of the licensing boards that we hear from.
Madam Chair. Mr. Olson.
Just in response to that, Madam Chair, Senator Gourley, we will provide a copy of that bill to each of the committee members this afternoon as we deliver the materials for tomorrow's hearings.
Thank you.
I will also mention that each of the licensing boards have been instructed to address that issue in their presentation. So you should be hearing it tomorrow.
I really appreciate that. Thank you.
Madam Chair.
Representative Bates.
Since Representative T. Smith had to leave, that's not T. Rex, it's T. Smith, okay. I think her concerns, and I'm going to echo those to a certain degree, are that you are in an unusual situation on this board with so many out-of-state licensees, and you may want to consider the possibility that since licensing fees ultimately are passed on to the consumer in this state, that it might be wise to adjust the out-of-state licensing fees compared to the in-state licensing fees. Looking at proposal here, it appears to me that the in-state licensing fees on a biennial basis are going to be $550.
That's
correct. And out-of-state licensing fees for the same length of time is $150?
No.
Inactive licenses?
An inactive license does not necessarily mean that the doctor is out of state. A person will keep their inactive license as a naturopath and be practicing in some other aspect of their life, but they don't want to lose their Oregon and be licensed. There are even some inactive licensees here in Oregon who are now practicing as nurses and are no longer practicing as NDs, but they don't want to do the 25 hours of continuing education for us, but they don't at the same time don't want to give up that license in case they determine that they do want to go back to practicing as physicians.
Follow up, Madam Chair.
So, yes.
I would just suggest you may want to look at that very carefully so that the burden of these out-of-state licensees is not carried by consumers in Oregon. That's the real nexus of this question, and I think an adjustment between those two might resolve this issue and make both parties happy and still give the board their financial backing and revenues you need to do your job which is, in essence, to properly license naturopathic physicians so that the public is protected.
Madam Chair, Representative Bates, that's a very good point. I appreciate being made aware of that.
Thank you.
Because I can assure you that Oregon does have the lowest licensing fees for naturopathic physicians of all the 12 states.
The chair will direct the agency to work with LFO and with DAS to put that kind of information together, and I think the members of the committee would be very interested in knowing whether there was a possibility of changing the fee structure so that the out-of-state people were paying the full cost of administering their part of the program.
Sure, I will work with them.
Further questions or comments? Representative March.
Thank you. And I think it's part of it is language here. Hire a temporary employee. And technically, you're not hiring a temporary employee so much as some temporary clerical support. I mean, $1,130 is going to buy you approximately, 50 hours each December. And maybe explanation of that, if that's what it's going to buy you, will help also, because people think that you're building, you know, employees. It looks bad, and I know you're not adding FTE. Secondly, with a board like yours, when you come in and if I was a member of this full member of this committee, and you came in and told me that your board is asking for a fee increase, my presumption is that the board has acted on this and is supportive of this fee increase. Well, it's a free decrease from old fees and an increase from the temporary. But I think knowing that the board's supporting this and that it's basically your members saying, you know, yeah, these are reasonable, is also something that should be stated.
Madam Chair, Representative March, I do want to let you know that when we first started looking at our budget for this biennium, I did notify every single licensee that the fees would be increased, and I did ask for input, and I had no, I had no negative comments back to the board office regarding the requirement, the need to increase fees. It is, I would have to say, it's supported also by the licensee.
Well, I think, too, that it's somewhat confusing to call this a fee increase because what you were doing was correcting a cash accumulation issue, and now you need to partially restore the previous fee so that you can continue your cash flow in a reasonable kind of a way. So fee increase is probably puts up a lot of red flags that mm-hmm. really are not real applicable to this situation.
I think that's fair.
Further comments or questions from the members of the committee? We will then look forward with interest on your work with LFO and DAS on trying to sort out the issue of the in-state and out-of-state cost sharing of the fee structure. And when we do bring this budget back for action, we will look for that report.
I'll have that report to you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. If there are no further questions or comments, I'll close the public hearing on the Oregon Board of Naturopathic Examiners. So done. And we will open a hearing on the Oregon Occupational Therapy Licensing Board. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Representative Bates also wants to note that nobody's eating his donuts.
Yeah, what's that all about?
Madam Chair, I've got my share.
I
maybe we move the table down.
Yeah, thank you, Senator Messerly. I appreciate your support there.
You lack your coffee. Why did that happen?
Audience can step up to those, too. You know, it's for
everybody. Dr. Bates, I learned a long time ago also that you don't offend the cook. So.
Yeah. But who gets cut off?
Things are so simple in the country.
Yeah.
Good morning, and thank you very much for joining us here. Let's start out with Mr. Olson's LFO overview of the situation.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the subcommittee. Again, I refer to the memo that was distributed to your offices yesterday. regarding the Occupational Therapy Licensing Board. The budget is a 7.9% increase over the 2001-03 legislative approved budget. Again, it's 100% other funds from fees for licenses and miscellaneous fees. Again, no budget notes, no audits were completed, no interim studies were done. The board is proposing a very modest fee increase, as you can see through the LFO analysis on the second page of my handout. And there are no major issues with the board right now.
Thank you. Questions or comments on the LFO report? We'll move then to the agency. Please weigh in and identify yourselves for the record.
Good morning, Madam Chair and members of the committee. I'm Peggy Smith, and I'm the executive officer to the Occupational Therapy Licensing Board. And to my right is board member Jeffrey Rome. He's a public member but has some affiliation with the medical community, and that he was dean of Allied Health at Mount Hood Community College and is recently retired. And he will be happy to answer any questions about practice issues. The Occupational Therapy Board was created in 1977, and the first licenses were issued in 1978. The board receives its authority from ORS 675210 to 340 and is charged to generally supervise occupational therapy. The board is comprised of five members, two of whom are public members and three are professional members. Up until about 2 years ago, all the professional members had been OTs, but we now have an OT assistant on the board. And that has been a real benefit to the board, to have representation from both OT, occupational therapists, and occupational therapy assistants. One of the public member positions is vacant and has been vacant for about 9 months. We've worked with the governor's office. We are trying to do some minority recruitment. The position is vacant. The board's mission is to ensure safe and ethical delivery of occupational therapy services, and OT services are provided to a vulnerable population in many settings, in hospitals, home health, schools. A small percentage of therapists work in private practice. It's a very small percentage, and most of those specialize in hand therapy. The board issues three types of licenses. We license occupational therapists, occupational therapy assistants, and we issue limited permits. Limited permits are issued to persons who meet the qualifications in that they have completed the academic and fieldwork requirements and have been approved to sit for the next certification exam. They have to work under a, they have to be supervised by a licensed occupational therapist. The board also offers reciprocal licenses to persons from other states whose requirements are equal to those in Oregon. The board uses a national certification exam. We do not give the exam. We don't have pass-through monies for the exam. We get the exam results from the testing service. The board adopted continuing education requirements in 1994. We require 15 points of continuing education a year. And the continuing education, the enforcement of that, will be addressed in the performance measures. The first performance measure relates to continuing education requirements, and the goal of which is that all OTs and OT assistants update their professional skills each licensing period. The board currently audits 5% of the licensees, plus any red flag licensees that we have had occasion to have concerns about during the year. The goal is to provide sufficient information and clarify rules so that compliance with the licensee, so that they know exactly what's required, what types of classes, courses are approved for continuing education, how many they have to have. The second performance measure is to continue timely issuance of licenses to qualified applicants within 3 days of receipt of all required documentation. if there are reasons to investigate an applicant because of information that comes to the board, usually on the application, obviously we can't issue the license within 3 days. But if unless other investigations are necessary, the goal is to issue within 3 working days. I have not kept data on this, but this office is small. As soon as everything comes in, I put it on my desk, it's moved out. So we don't have a tracking system except a manual one or a visual one. The third and the fourth performance measures relate to investigations. And
Can I just interject here? Rick, where is it in this budget presentation where the performance measurements are shown and we're given the background information on it?
It's on page B11, excuse me. Second tab, agency summary. There's a standard format that is used now. This actually is good for the committee to know that there's been a performance measure committee that's been established that all agencies were required to submit the performance measures to for approval. That's through the Progress Board, and a member of our office was on that committee as well. And so this is the standard format that you'll be seeing in all the budgets.
Can you step us through this? Bear with us because we're just kind of getting into the swing of the new way that performance measures are going to be used in this process. And I might also just bring to the committee's attention that the co-chairs have directed that part of our process be that we review these performance measures for what we think is both effective performance measures and effective measurement of them. So please bear that in mind as we work through all of these presentations.
And in fact, Madam Chair, you will be asked to approve the performance measures for each agency as part of the work session. And you can approve them as they are, or you can modify them or make suggestions or ask for a completely different performance measure, whatever the committee's wishes are. But that will be a formal action item during the work session with regards to performance measures.
And will all of the performance measures that we see be set up with the same format that these are set up with?
Yes, ma'am, that's correct.
Can you step us through what we're actually looking at here?
Well, Madam Chair, members of the committee, each agency has been asked to establish goals for the agency and then relate the performance measures to those goals. And you'll see, for example, here on this one, there's the goal on the left-hand side, and then you'll have the performance measure on how they are achieving that goal or measuring the achievement of that goal.
What's the second column in, OBM number, HLO number?
Green benchmarks.
Right. If you look up above, related Oregon benchmarks, OBM, or high-level outcomes, if this particular goal and performance measure directly relates to one of the Oregon benchmarks, it'll indicate there what that one is.
Okay.
And you'll see
and
here that none...
a high-level outcome, but these are related to the mission of the agency and not to
correct.
OBMs or HLOs.
Correct. There are no links to the Oregon benchmarks for this particular agency. You'll see that is probably quite common with some of these very small health-related licensing boards. But when you get into some of the larger agencies, they will all have links to the benchmarks.
Okay,
Chair.
And then
Chair.
Senator Messerly.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Along these lines, and this probably doesn't apply to this board, but as we're having discussions about liability in the medical fields, it would seem important to me that we have one other line here which would indicate the number of licenses that have been not only investigated but have been withdrawn, and maybe over a period of time, so we can see a history of whether the licensing boards are actually policing their licenses or if they're just maybe.
So, what was that number of licenses
that have been withdrawn as compared to the number of licenses that they have in effect?
Over the total number of licenses.
Uh-huh. And over a period of years, I would think it'd be a good picture, too.
I will point out, Madam Chair, members of the committee, if you go back a few more pages, page B11C, you'll see these performance measures, and you'll see the targets and the data they have collected so far over the past 5 years, or over 5 years, and what their targets are into the future through 2005. There are some performance measures here relating to licensing and investigation, although I'm not sure there's one here directly relating to what Senator Meserle is asking for.
Okay.
We can certainly add that.
Again, please bear with us. We haven't seen these binders before we walked in here this morning, so this is a little daunting trying to work our way through this.
And that raises another issue I should mention, Madam Chair. The agencies have been asked to provide these binders to us at least a week before their scheduled hearing. Now, with these early boards and agencies, that's been very difficult to do. DAS has been working feverishly to get these documents prepared with the governor's numbers in them. So these did come in a day or two ago. We do have some more here for the next couple of days, and so if you're interested in looking at those, you're welcome to come down here. As you might know, each of these binders have a name tag on the front with your names on them, and they're kept in the cabinets over here, and so you're welcome to come and take them with you. And the only thing we ask is that you bring them back when the scheduled hearing.
Now, where are these cabinets? Those cabinets?
Over on the other side over
Can
there.
Can ordinary mortals open those?
Yes. Dolores, our committee assistant, would be glad to show you how and where they're at.
Okay. Their keys. I want to go back to the spreadsheet where that we were looking at with the agency goals and the key performance measures. Continue to set me along on the headings here. So what's the PM number? That's some kind of tracking number?
That is performance measure number. That assigns a number to that particular performance measure that you can then relate back to the next few sheets. For example, back here, okay. Performance measure number one,
okay.
And so forth.
Okay.
And then the next column tells you how long they've been tracking that information. As you can see, a lot of these performance measures are new, particularly with the smaller agencies. This is not something that they've been doing for a number of years. They just started in the last session or two, and it's become a key issue. Then it walks you through what particular target they reached in 2000 and what their target is for 2005. And then with the larger agencies, you'll see which division within that agency has responsibility for that particular performance measure.
Okay. Representative Bates.
Yeah. Thank you, Madam Chair. The number I didn't understand is the 833-420. What is that reference?
Madam Chair, Representative Bates, that has to do with their agency number. All these health, these smaller health-related boards that I was talking about earlier, agency number is 83300. So
that just relates to the
that relates to the agency number reference for tracking in the larger performance measure statewide.
Could I?
Representative Mark.
Thank you. I certainly agree. Senator Meserle brought up a good point of an outcome measure that just tells us that the case was resolved doesn't necessarily give us some guidance as to whether it was resolved positively, negatively, whether licenses were revoked, and give us some direction for the future. Do we need more investigative power or in those lines? And the targets, like invest, to complete an investigation within a year. I mean, that's a pretty, in some ways, I think, a pretty easy target. Although maybe you're not making it now at an estimate of about 80%. But it's good to give yourselves targets to reach for. 100%, if you're always hitting 100%, then we need a new target, probably. So, thanks.
Maybe they're just perfect.
Yeah, well, we're human beings.
So then the next piece of this is that we're going to a description of the performance measure. This is quantitatively how it's being measured.
Madam Chair, that's correct. And where they're getting
and
that
where
data
the data
from
is coming from.
Correct.
Okay. Okay.
Then the next page is actually a page that comes from the Performance Measure Review Committee that I was discussing or mentioned earlier, and who the lead reviewer was and any comments that they made regarding the performance measures.
And then the next page is actually what the measures were and what their targets are. Any questions on this section? Once again, I think at this point there will be a period of time during the work session when we can actually discuss the substance of these particular performance measures. But I thought that it was important that the committee kind of get a handle on what this information was going to look like and what it was made up of. Senator Measure.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just have a word of caution, I guess. I think performance measures are really important in measuring the outcomes, but I'd like, if there's any feedback, if they'd care to give feedback. Sometimes I think we can just bury ourselves in this type of thing. And if it's effective, if it's not an overkill, and, you know, as I see about how many pages here, most of it's the same information, pretty close. I mean, you could maybe spread that out and put it on one page or something, but I just want to get some feedback if we have created a situation here that could be simplified and give us the same information and not be a burden to the staff.
I agree. Now, having derailed you, please proceed.
Madam Chair and Senator Messerly, putting these performance measures together, going through the exercise, did take a great deal of time. There were training sessions. We got a lot of support. You'll note that Rita Conrad was the one who signed off on this, who reviewed it, and she would not let go till we finished it. I mean, she was a lot of help. It did take a lot of time to do them. And it was helpful in looking back to see where we had come from. It was helpful.
Madam Chair, can I follow up on that?
Yes.
Again, maybe not today isn't the appropriate time, but if you have suggestions how to make the process less burdensome, I think that would be interesting for us and still be as effective.
Thank you. Getting back to the performance measures just very briefly, the third one deals with the board's goal to ensure that all practitioners provide competent services. And we sometimes get complaints or questions or issues that come to the board, and the target for this was that we would have it resolved by the next board meeting. Because the board meets quarterly, sometimes we have 2 or 3 months to work on that issue before the next board meeting, and many of them do not really require formal investigation. Those are the types that we have as a goal to resolve by the next board meeting. The fourth performance measure has a goal that the more formal investigation, the more detailed investigations, the ones that require more work and probably involve the Attorney General and or possibly the hearings officer panel, we hope to accomplish this. Our goal is to accomplish it within a year. And we've had a couple that we spent a lot of time on, and I didn't think that was realistic. I went back from the time that we received the complaint until it was resolved, and it was less than a year. However, we didn't go to contested case hearing. That would have added some length before it was completed. We have Senate Bill 786. Thank you for coming in, Senator Boardley. The board responded to the compliance to Senate Bill 786 to promote diversity on the board and within the profession. And some of the activities that the board has participated in were we had a joint meeting with other health-related licensing boards, and we had people from the Minority Health Office within what used to be called the Health Division, and we worked to design a survey form to get the material that we felt was what we needed, what was being asked for, what would give us, give the committee information that they wanted. We sent out the survey forms with all license applications and with renewal applications. So everyone who currently has a license has been exposed to that. So far, we've had about a 50% success rate with that survey form. We will be mailing license renewals out in March, and we will either send the same form, perhaps with a revision, and hope to get better than a 50% success rate. And through that, we've learned that there are at least 30, there are 30 language proficiencies that are practiced by people in the OT profession. The board has participated in a health career day sponsored by the Oregon Health Career Center. It was at the convention center, and they had over 1,500 students. It was statewide, and some people from Southern Washington attended. I didn't have a check mark how many people that we had, but there was a constant flow for about 5 hours. And we had candy, and I think that helped because people did stop.
We used donuts, man.
And most people didn't know what occupational therapy was. And it was obvious that the kids were excited. It was neat to meet with them. We also have used newsletters and contact with the Professional Association, and inasmuch as the governor selects the board members, the board does solicit, the governor accepts and I think invites solicitation from the board or recommendations from the board as to who would make a good board member. And we're not through with that. We are working on that. And also the...
Senator Gordon. If I may just say here, while I still have a voice, the work that's going forward under your direction is so exciting, and it is forward-looking work. And again, I just want to commend your efforts and the way in which you have stepped forward and embraced the intent of the legislation passed last session. So again, thank you, and let us know how we can be of assistance as your efforts move forward.
Also, our public member met with the association and discussed this Senate Bill 786 and invited their participation in promoting diversity within the profession. The board has four policy packages, and I'm sure Adam will go into those in more detail. We're asking for biennial licensing. We currently license annually. And the board, in response to some concerns or some contact with the association, we require 15 points of continuing education a year, and that is tracked with the license renewals. There were some persons who said that there's some dry years in CE offerings, and there's nothing they really want to do. So if they had a two-year window of time to get that continuing education, it would be of a benefit to them. So in response to their requests, and I'm sure it's not going to be everybody who wants to pay two-year license fees at one time, but it also by going through the renewal process in the office, the issuing of licenses, the clerical work, we estimate that would save about $2,600 to $2,700 in clerical time and printing expenses, that sort of thing. It doesn't save as much as we thought it would before we did this analysis, because we would be doing a mailing probably about four times a biennium anyway, so some of the anticipated savings are not really that striking. The policy, but it would save on the workload, and that is what one of the reasons, plus convenience for the continuing education period. The second policy package, we're asking for an additional $18,000, and we have not had, up until 2002, very, our enforcement activity has been very, very conservative. And if you don't have a history of AG or investigators, then you can't get it in your budget till you have a history. So it sounds like we're asking probably for more than what might generally be the case. It's more than inflation. It's because we have had, we've had seven enforcement cases, seven complaints that have resulted in formal investigations. And during this last biennium, we have taken disciplinary action on seven licenses. And there was one year, I think it was about 3 years ago, we didn't have a single complaint. So it, they are increasing, and we don't have the history, and the base budget does not have the funding to pursue these complaints. Policy package 203, technology enhancement, we have withdrawn that because that was to replace the computer. We went to the emergency board, and they approved funds for a computer, so that's withdrawn. Where the fourth policy package is for board education, we're requesting $1,800 in other funds to allow a board member and or staff to attend a national conference to network with peers from other jurisdictions. And this was included in the 0103 budget as a one-time only, and we're asking that that be replaced for, so that we can continue to do that. And just Jeff was one of the ones who attended a conference in Kansas City last year, and I think he could answer any questions on the benefits of having attended one of these conferences if you have questions. And again, until the current biennium, the board did not have a large number of complaints. We have taken enforcement action on seven licensees. We utilize the, we're one of the boards, and maybe all of them are, but anyway, we are under the hearings officer panel, provides hearing services for the board. And we have not had to go to contest a hearing, but we have worked with the hearings officer panel and some pre-hearing things, and it has been minimal. But if enforcement activities are grow a lot, we will be using those more. In order to support the current program and provide sufficient ending balance for 2005, we are going to have a fee increase. The fee increase would generate an additional $34,500. When we had our budget hearing, not last biennium, but the biennium before, the committee had some concerns about the license fees for OT assistants being not as much difference as OTs, considering the differences in their salaries. So the fee increase that we're requesting only increases the occupational therapist license. It does not increase the occupational therapy assistance. Inasmuch as we have a bill to go to biennial licensing, the initial OT license, the initial OT license is $75, and we're requesting an increase of $10 to $85. And if the bill passes to go to biennial licensing, it would be twice that amount. The renewals would go from 85 to 100, and again, if we go to biennial licensing, it would be twice that. The reciprocal would go from 75 to 120. We license persons who come into Oregon from other states. There are quite a few traveling therapists, and many of those may have licenses in three or four states. So it does require more work to determine whether they are, whether they hold current licenses and whether there have been any complaints. The board is totally supported by other funds, and we are respectfully requesting approval of $260,434, and that includes the funding to maintain current service level and funding for the policy packages that I just told you about. Are there any questions?
Senator Miss.
Madam Chair, this might be a silly question, but thank you. Just curious why the initial license fee is less than the renewal. It would seem to me it would be the opposite, the other way around.
Realistic, Madam Chair and Senator Mestre, realistically and for the cost to issue those licenses, it does cost more. But occupational therapists are noted for being nurturing, caretaking people, and they felt that persons who are getting their first license, they don't have the income and that sort of thing. So it was a break. I mean, it's only $10, but it was recognition of not necessarily hardship, but limited funds.
Yeah. Thank you.
Further questions? Representative Banks?
No, Madam Chair. Thank you. Did I read this right? You have a board position that's been open for 9 months?
Well, has that been how long? Our board chair resigned. He's a public member.
Last summer.
Yeah.
So
I think he attended the fall meeting, but he was in transition.
A follow-up question, Madam Chair.
Yes.
Your board has a significant responsibility, especially with occupational therapists who are coming to the state working part-time in various hospitals and whatnot, and keeping track of those people and making sure they are who they say they are, which is an interesting problem, of course, you face. But if you haven't got a functioning board, it's, you know, with enough people there, you're going to have difficulty. What is the problem with filling up positions? A lack of interest, lack of pay, not covering a per diem. It's a burden most people can't take on.
Madam Chair and Representative Bates, I'm not really sure why it's difficult to get one. I think part of it may have been that we would be going through a transition with the new governor. I know that we are working on having someone from the minority population. There are, and this is a public member position, so they don't have to come from the profession. And I think it's difficult to find public members to serve.
I think it's a matter of getting recommendations of people from one of your contacts. So myself, I don't have anyone to recommend. I'm a public member, but I've had a long history with occupational therapy, and I was very happy to continue to do it.
I'm sure one of the senators could help you with this, but I would think that you could aggressively recruit out of a minority organization to find some service board. It would be insightful for that community group to have a better knowledge of what occupational therapy is and what a wonderful career it could be.
Well, the person who just left the board was a receiver of both services, and that's also very helpful.
Senator Gordon.
Thank you, Madam Chair. With regard to the recruitment piece, we do have several state commissions that could serve as an excellent resource. I'm thinking of the Commission on Black Affairs, Hispanic Commission, Commission for Women, and the Indian Commission. Again, these are commissions that are established to provide policy guidance to the legislature, but they are also resources with deep and wide statewide contacts. So I would hope that you would utilize that resource. I do have another question, Madam Chair. As Ms. Smith was going through the fee changes, they seem to be different from what's in the governor's budget. Unless I misheard, the initial license fees in the governor's budget are $20 per.
Madam Chair, Senator Gordley, I think the difference is the fees that the agency spoke about were yearly fees, and I had them biennially. So a $10 increase yearly, $20 biennially.
All right. Thank you.
Does that complete your presentation?
Yes, Madam Chair.
Thank you very much. We will, in the interest of getting out of here on time, move to the DAS presentation.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members of the committee, once again, for the record, Adam Torgerson with the Department of Administrative Services. And I'll go through this as quickly as I can, so please stop me if you need me to slow down or repeat something. First chart that we'll look at is the consolidated budget comparison. Once again, comparing all the different phases with the difference between close of session and fifth special session being compensation plan. The governor's budget increases. We will talk about the pieces that went into that when I get to the policy package section. But if you look at the consolidated budget with the graph of the funding source on the next page, I believe the agency is 100% other funded through license and service fees. And move forward again, the budget is a 13.3% increase from the legislatively approved budget through the fifth special session. There's no major changes from special session actions. It increases attorney general usage. The agency did appear at the emergency board to talk about increased enforcement activities. The governor's budget implements biennial licensure and fee increases. I'll talk about those a little bit later as well. And I don't have a specific bullet, but it does include the $1,800 for board education as well. If you turn the page, the board is comprised of one program unit, and so there's just one particular board program. And look again at the next slide. It should be the personal services and services and supplies breakdown. About two-thirds are personal services for the agency, payroll and other payroll expenses. Move on to the next one. The board did go to the October emergency board and requested increased limitation of 11,500, 10,000 of which was for increased attorney general usage. And the governor's budget builds in this higher level into the budget as a policy package, which we'll go over as package 202, the $1,500 computer component is one time and is not included. The going down to essential packages 010, the non-PICS personal service adjustments, some minor adjustments, nothing unusual, mass transit tax changed as well. Everything pretty much less than about $300. The essential package 020 program adjustments where the phase-in and phase-outs occur. Phases out the board education, which is in package 204 to continue, that allows a board member or a staff to attend a national conference. The 030 package is the inflation and priceless adjustment package. Nothing unusual, no adjustments there. The policy packages, the 090, which would be the analyst adjustments and recommendations, we didn't have any for this particular agency. We move on to the policy packages. The first package is biennial licensing. And what the associated House bill that the agency submitted is House Bill 2245. And what that actually does is it removes fees from statute into administrative rule. And the fees will have to be set later through the 333 process administratively, but the intent is to put in the fees that the agency spoke about and that are included in the governor's budget, which increase initial licenses by $10 a year, $20 a biennium, renewals by $30 a biennium, and reciprocal licenses by $90 per biennium. The legislature will have an opportunity at the next session as well to ratify those increases as part of that same process. The 202 package, regulatory activities, increases the attorney general component to $10,000 or by $10,000, and this is the same level that the board brought to the October emergency board. I don't have a specific bullet for 203; it was removed. That package is not included in the governor's budget, and the 204 package. I don't have a specific bullet. It's $1,800 for board member education. Travel to the specific to the national conference. The next slide goes into fee and revenue changes, and that basically outlines what I just told you as far as the House Bill 2245. This agency has a very high-ending balance, but it's sort of a technical matter because they get all their money right before the end of the biennium, so that money needs to carry them through until the next licensing period, which is at the towards the end of the next biennium. But they have just a several months' worth of reserve. It looks unusual that it's so high, but it's actually operating money till their next time when they collect money. And there's no new program or governor investments and no technical adjustments to make to the budget. Thank you.
Questions? Representative Tudy Smith.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I don't mean to pick on you specifically for this question, but it's a question that's been nagging at me for quite some time. Your Attorney General's fees are proportionately high, I think, in regards compared to your budget. $10,000, is that right? Compared to your $200-and-some-thousand-dollar budget?
Madam Chair, Representative Smith, I think the actual line item is higher than that. That would be the increase that's in the policy package.
And so what is it?
One moment, I'll actually.
Okay. Well, while you're getting that information from me, I'm going to ask a question. And maybe some of the more senior members on this committee can help me with this. We have a hearings officer review board set up to handle situations, you know, that I think the Attorney General's office has been handling in the past. I'm not saying the hearings officer review board can do all of them, but is that a service made available to you or not?
Madam Chair and Representative Smith, yes, it is.
Okay, do you use them?
I believe we are mandated to use those services.
Okay, when you go before the hearings officer board, do you have the Attorney General person there with you?
Madam Chair and Representative Smith, we have not participated in a contested case hearing, so we have not gone before the hearings officer panel. We have used some of the hearing. We have used their services preparing for a contested case hearing, and we do work with our Attorney General to get that information, to meet with the representative from the hearings officer panel. And if I were to go to contested case hearing, not having been there, I believe that I would be that the board would be represented by our assigned legal counsel.
From the Attorney General's office?
Yes.
Okay. Did you find that number?
Madam Chair, Representative Smith, yes, the number is just under $18,000. And it's not necessarily from a contested case hearing. The boards often use their Attorney General during their board meetings to do discussions for administrative rules or personnel actions, or also just to refer to, you know, different statutory scope of practice issues.
Okay.
Senator Messery.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have a process question, I guess. I think the Attorney General's budget comes through the General Government Committee of Ways and Means, and I sat on that in 99. As I recall, we negotiated hard on adjusting those fees. So my question is that as we put these budgets out, whether those fees go up or down, how do we adjust that if we've already passed the budget out?
Mr. Olson.
Madam Chair, Senator Messerly, if a budget has already been passed out by the time those fees are determined, there is an omnibus bill that is put together to reduce limitation from those budgets to make that adjustment. That not only applies to the Attorney General, but it applies to central government service charges and rent and any other adjustments that may come, audit assessment from the Secretary of State are all applicable.
PERS,
yes.
Okay, thank you.
Madam Chair, Senator Gordley.
Could we please go through these fee changes one more time, just to make sure that I heard correctly, because I thought I heard that the reciprocal license was going to $100. I thought I heard Ms. Smith say that.
Madam Chair, Senator Gordley, the reciprocal license fee currently is $75 a year. And we're proposing going to $120 a year.
Where does that say that?
It's in this presentation.
Thank you.
Which is the agency presentation.
Okay. Because, again, the numbers are just different from what's in the the DAS presentation.
It is.
And that's where my confusion is.
Yep, Madam Chair, Senator Gordley.
I'm looking at this document.
Yes, I listed the increase that's in the package. The increase that I have is $90 per biennium, which the agency, when they spoke about it in their presentation, spoke about it annually. It would go up $45 annually, $90 per biennium. It's an annual fee, but typically when we budget, we speak of things biennially as far as their effect on revenues.
It's getting a little clearer.
I apologize.
Okay.
Do you have a follow-up?
No. Just wanted to make sure that the agency and DAS were talking from the same page of fee changes, and I think you are.
Okay. Further questions or comments? Thank you very much for joining us today. I'll close the public hearing on the Occupational Therapy Licensing Board and ask Mr. Olson to give us a little heads up on what we're going to be doing tomorrow.
Madam Chairs and members of the committee, tomorrow you'll be looking at the budgets for the Board of Clinical Social Workers and the budget for the Board of Licensed Professional Counselors and Therapists. Again, two health-related licensing boards, similar in size to the two boards that you heard. And I will be delivering to your office later this afternoon the material. And again, budget binders are here for those two boards if any of you would like to take them and look at them.
But we should do that under the clear understanding that if we don't bring them to the hearing, we're out of luck.
Where are they?
In that cupboard.
I think after the meeting, Dolores can help you locate them. They're over here.
And so would we assume that the same thing would hold true for these two binders that we have right now, that if we choose to take them with us and we go into work session, that we're at our own peril for being able to dredge them out of our offices?
I don't trust myself. I'm leaving mine here.
Is there any more comments or that anybody wishes to make in the committee? If not, this meeting is adjourned. We will reconvene tomorrow morning at 8:30.